Chapter 47. When Harry woke up, his shoulder was throbbing, but the throbbing in his cock was a far more pleasant sensation to focus on. He shifted a little to look down and groaned, not entirely in pleasure. Draco hummed his amusement around his mouthful of Harry's cock, and Harry inhaled sharply. "Merlin, Draco," he breathed. "Are you trying to kill me by pain or pleasure this morning?" Without removing his mouth from his chosen task, Draco held up his closed fist to Harry, indicating he had something to give him. Confused, Harry held his hand underneath, and Draco dropped a pain-relieving potion into his palm. Harry didn't know why his shoulder still wasn't healed properly. He had rested, finally. But he wasn't going to worry about it at the moment. He grinned. "Ah, I get double the pleasure today," he said, quickly downing the potion. And then Draco's mouth dropped down all the way on him. "Oh, gods," Harry moaned, falling back onto his pillow and not giving a damn that his shoulder was still aching. The ache building in his groin required much more attention. He didn't want this to end. When the hell had Draco learned how to do that? Harry was quickly deciding he needed to pay more respect to Draco's tongue. It was doing incredible things to his cock. He awkwardly pulled another pillow under his head so he could see. His eyes widened to see Draco's lips tight around his cock, and his cheeks hollowed as he sucked. "Fuck," Harry panted. Draco was straddling Harry's leg and unashamedly rubbing himself off. His hand glided over Harry's balls, squeezed gently, then slid further down. Draco's fingers feathering across his entrance, the brilliant sucking, the sight of it all. Harry was coming before he'd given himself permission. Eyes squeezed shut without conscious thought as he rode the waves of his climax. His eyes were heavy-lidded as he watched Draco finish jerking himself off. His eyes on Harry. "Gods, you're gorgeous," Harry murmured. Draco whimpered, his hand moving faster before he came, shooting the pearly streams over Harry's stomach and chest. Draco sat back on his heels as he attempted to catch his breath. Harry gave him a lopsided smile before looking at his stomach. "You do enjoy coming on me, don't you?" he said wryly, swirling his fingers through the sticky stuff. Draco shrugged, but he was smiling as he reached for his wand to clean them up. "You know you enjoy it, too," he drawled. "Yeah, I do," Harry agreed, not even pretending to deny it. "I love watching you." Draco flashed him a brilliant smile before slapping his thigh. "Come on, we need to shower, and we should probably go see what's going on," he said. Harry groaned. "Draco, I don't want to leave our room," he whinged. "Disasters happen when I do." Draco was laughing as he dragged Harry out of bed. Harry followed Draco to the bathroom, but he continued with his line of thought. "The house is overrun by Slytherins. That surely can't be a good thing for me," he said. "And Severus will probably be down there. And maybe evil letters from my friends." He frowned. "Assuming they're still my friends." Draco slapped him on the arse this time, making Harry yelp. "Get in the bloody shower," he drawled, "and quit worrying." "Why is my shoulder still hurting?" Harry asked abruptly in the middle of breakfast. "Because you're not normal," Draco answered promptly. Harry shot a glare in his direction as the Slytherin sniggered. "You're my boyfriend, so you're supposed to be sympathetic," he said. Draco arched a brow. "Am I?" "Yes," Harry said sullenly. Draco rolled his eyes, giving Harry a kiss on the cheek. "I don't know why your shoulder hasn't healed yet," he said dutifully. "Maybe it's because you're not supposed to be getting into fights when you're already injured," Blaise said dryly.
"You should have let us fight him for you," Crabbe spoke up.
Harry's face twisted. Draco choked on his toast.
"We still can," Goyle offered.
Harry choked on the air he was breathing.
That's really not necessary, he managed to say. They looked disappointed, but shrugged and went back to their food. Harry looked at Draco pleadingly. Draco was attempting to swallow his laughter, his eyes sparkling wildly in amusement. After breakfast, Draco, Harry insisted. Draco simply had to talk to them. Draco put on a mask of indecision. Draco! All right, Draco said, laughing. Blaise leaned over to whisper in his ear. No matter what he says to them, they're yours now. No, Harry protested. Yes, Blaise countered, smirking. Harry slumped in his chair. They were people. They didn't belong to anyone, least of all him. He glanced across the table at the two hulking Slytherins and sighed. Hero worship was probably better than being beaten to a bloody pulp, but he considered the topic debatable. He caught Daphne's eye, who was gazing at him knowingly, understanding the conversation between him, Draco, and Blaise. Watch them, she mouthed. Harry stared at her curiously, but she nodded her head towards Crabbe and Goyle. He didn't get what she was driving at. He looked at them, but didn't see anything unusual. Has anyone heard from Pansy lately? Daphne asked innocently. Harry saw the shudders that Crabbe and Goyle only managed to partially hide. He frowned at Daphne. She just gave him a sad smile before turning to the girl on the other side of her, who was actually answering the question. Let's go ask Severus about your shoulder, Draco said abruptly, pulling Harry up. They stopped in the short hallway between the kitchen and the potions room. What was that all about? Harry demanded. Pansy's a cruel bitch, Draco said. She'd use Crabbe and Goyle to test hexes or just to take out her frustration. And you let her? Harry exclaimed. Draco's face went suspiciously blank. You joined her, Harry said, in sudden understanding. I didn't do it all the time, Draco snapped defensively. I protected them when I could, but we lived in the Slytherin dungeons where half of them wanted to be Death Eaters. Where you were the Death Eater, Harry said flatly, leaning back against the wall. A certain amount of cruelty is expected or you don't survive, Draco said stiffly. I wouldn't be standing here if I'd always treated them nicely. Harry rubbed his temples, trying to figure out what to say. He hated this side of Draco, but it wasn't like it was news to him. Draco's cruelty had been directed at him for years. But that at least made sense. They'd been enemies. Being cruel to your friends? He just didn't understand it. He realized he should have clued in to the fact that Draco didn't really consider them friends, though, since he called them by their last names. He remembered being polyjuiced as Goyle. Even alone with them, Draco had called them Crabbe and Goyle. It was ironic that they'd been living at the center of a war, and yet Harry suddenly felt like they'd been living in a bubble. Odd, that. Hogwarts felt like the real world, far distant from where they were currently. But it was creeping back into their lives as they met up with the other students. You're going to talk to them, right? He said quietly. I've said I would, haven't I? Draco snapped. All right, Harry said. That's it? Draco asked suspiciously. I've chosen a boyfriend who wanted to be a Death Eater, Harry said dryly. It's not all that surprising to learn you've been out kicking puppies, or lapdogs, as the case may be. I'd be more shocked to learn you were out petting kittens. Draco gaped at him. Kittens? Yes, they're cute, little cuddly creatures, Harry said, rolling his eyes. It's rather the puppies that I'm worried about at the moment, he grimaced. I'd really prefer it if you took back their care, but held off on the kicking. Harry, you're odd, Draco said succinctly. Thank you, Harry said, giving him a flat stare. Can I go see if Severus can figure out my shoulder now? Draco frowned at his attitude. What's wrong? He asked. He put his hands on the wall on either side of Harry, trapping him. Harry went back to rubbing his temples. "Draco, I may very well have lost my best friends. I've gained two of your friends by defending them from you. I've been reminded that you and I have really different value systems. Yet, I've done far worse things than you. So I have no room to talk. My shoulder is entirely fucked up and I don't understand why. I have no idea what I have to do today because Severus keeps changing the plans on me. I've a Dark Lord to kill off in a few days, and I'm surrounded by bloody Slytherins." Draco arched a brow. "Is that all?"
"You asked," Harry muttered.
Draco nudged Harry's right hand with his nose, placing a soft kiss on his temple, when Harry dropped his hand to his side. He then did the same with Harry's left hand. Harry closed his eyes and leaned his head back against the wall as Draco continued to place gentle kisses, his warm breath ghosting over Harry's cheeks. Harry blindly reached for Draco's hips, pulling him closer, as Draco's lips brushed over his own in a teasing kiss.
"I'm not going anywhere," Draco whispered. One hand moved from the wall, soothing over Harry's chest, and fingers catching the rings hidden under the shirt, drawing attention to them even as they kissed. A promise. Draco would still be there, even when everything in Harry's life turned upside down, inside out, and backwards. The reminder warmed him, and the kisses simply intensified the feeling of being loved, despite everything. They were snogging pleasantly when the door to the potions room opened.
"Why, do I dare ask, are the two of you not in the kitchen eating breakfast?"
Severus asked.
"Because I used to kick puppies, and because Harry needs you to look at his shoulder," Draco answered easily. Harry laughed lightly as Severus gazed at them impassively.
"Clearly, I should not have questioned," Severus said.
Harry gave Draco a quick, grateful kiss before shoving him away. "I really do need you to look at my shoulder," he said. "Madame Pomfrey told me that I have to rest to get things to heal properly, but I slept last night. Shouldn't it be healed by now? It feels better than it did yesterday morning, but it's not completely healed."
"Harry, what makes you believe that one decent night of rest is enough to make up for the stress you've put your body through over the last month?"
Severus asked silkily.
"But everything else is healed," Harry protested. "Even my head healed with just a few hours of sleep."
"Debatable," Draco muttered, smiling innocently when Harry shot him an irritated glare.
"Even magic is incapable of correcting stupidity," Severus said smoothly.
Harry sighed. He'd known that he hadn't wanted to face Snape this morning. "So, what am I not understanding?" he asked in resignation. Severus relented.
"I believe you have experience with allowing time for bones to regrow."
"Yeah," Harry said, wincing. "But what does that have to do with anything?"
"Madame Pomfrey has informed me that you've done a great deal of tendon and muscle damage when you dislocated your shoulder," Severus said. "The simple explanation is that you need to regrow those connections. It takes time. Time that you have not allowed."
"But I rested overnight," Harry protested.
"After undoing all healing process that had been made and, indeed, making it worse," Severus said.
Harry slumped dejectedly, annoyed when the movement aggravated his shoulder. Severus gazed at him knowingly.
"The shoulder is the most mobile joint in the human body," he explained. "You continue to work your shoulder when you should be limiting motion, even in sleep. The extra stress your body has been under also has an impact on the healing time. The constant use of pain-relieving potions, while understandable, gives you the false sensation of healing, and you hinder the process by moving the joint more than is healthy."
"What do I have to do to get it to heal, then?" Harry asked.
In addition to the healing potions you've been taking, the usual remedy would be a bare minimum of 8 hours of dreamless sleep and complete immobilization of the joint, Severus said. Harry started shaking his head, even before Severus had finished speaking. I can't do that, he said. Not again. And I can't stop doing everything just because my shoulder aches. What if something were to happen and my wand arm was immobilized?
I am aware of that, Severus said dryly. Hence, you have to face a slower healing time, and you need to keep movement of your shoulder to a minimum. Starting a bout of fisticuffs was not your best solution to the problem.
All right, I get it, Harry muttered. So, if I can manage to behave today, then we'll work on my training tomorrow?
There are certain spells I wish you to master before Saturday, Severus agreed, a warning in his voice. Harry heard the message. Behave, or you risk killing us all.
So, what do I have to do today? He asked.
The morning had already had its moments, but he knew from experience that the day had barely begun.
You will be calling an order meeting, Severus said calmly.
Harry groaned, wishing he hadn't asked, as if that would have prevented it. Severus ignored him.
We will have the support of Kingsley, Minerva, and the Weasleys, he said. As you cannot do your training today, we will not wait until Friday to address the rest of the order as we had planned.
He glared at Harry and Draco.
And you two will not get involved in any more fights with Weasley, he warned.
As long as he doesn't hurt Harry again, Draco said. This is a nightmare, Harry thought. Killing Voldemort was going to be the easy part of the entire week. Two simple words, Avada Kedavra, and that was all he had to say to Voldemort. No explanations necessary.
When they went back to finish their breakfast, he glanced around the table, grateful that at least he didn't have to answer to this group. Frowning, he realized this group of Slytherins had accepted him. No one had taunted him, questioned him, fought with him. Admittedly, with the exception of Draco, and by association Crabbe and Goyle, he never had much trouble with this group in the past. But they were still Slytherins, and he was still... well, he was still Harry Potter, the quintessential Gryffindor. He caught Blaise afterwards, while Draco went to finally talk with Crabbe and Goyle.
Zambini, what were you all threatened with so you'd leave me alone? Harry asked curiously.
Blaise smirked at him.
We haven't been threatened, he said.
You haven't? Harry said in surprise.
Not directly, Blaise amended.
I don't understand, Harry admitted.
Potter, somehow you have Draco, Snape, and even Lucius Malfoy standing behind you, Blaise said, rolling his eyes. We don't need any more direct threat than that, thank you.
Harry's face twisted into a grimace of acknowledgement. Everyone does know that we're working to defeat Voldemort, right? He asked.
Blaise sniggered.
Yes, that was made clear, he said. However, we don't have the remotest understanding as to how it's come about. You, we understand.
Draco, I somewhat understand.
Snape and Draco's parents? And how you ended up working with them? Or rather, how they ended up working with you?
It's a long story, Harry said dryly.
And probably one we'll never hear in its entirety, Blaise said knowingly.
Harry shook his head.
No, you won't, he admitted.
Blaise gazed at Harry speculatively.
We may not understand it, but it's clear that you and Snape are the ones in charge around here, he said. That fact alone brings you the respect of the Slytherins, at least of those who are here.
Of course, Harry muttered. Respect the power, not the fact that I'm trying to save everyone's arse.
And the clueless Gryffindor begins to understand, Blaise said, smirking.
Piss off, Harry said, but without heat. This clueless Gryffindor needs to go set things in motion for a bloody order meeting. A few hours later, Harry truly felt like a clueless Gryffindor. Unsure of how it came about, he found himself going to the Weasleys for lunch with Draco, Victoria, and Blaise in tow. He knew how it had come about, as Mrs. Weasley had extended the invitation when Harry talked to her about the order meeting. But he was unsure of what had made him accept the invitation. Actually, he knew the answer to that, too. Severus had insisted on it for some unfathomable reason. Harry still didn't understand. He approached the back door warily. They could have used the flue now, but he was not about to drop into the middle of the Weasley kitchen with Draco. This gave him a few extra moments to prepare himself. He turned to Draco one more time. "Draco, please behave," he pleaded. "I will if they will," Draco declared haughtily, giving the same answer as he had the previous 20 times Harry had tried to talk to him about it over the course of the morning. Harry sighed in defeat, causing Draco to roll his eyes. "I'll behave," he drawled, "and I hope you're aware I would only do this for you," he added. "Isn't that the truth?" Blaise muttered, sending Harry a small smirk behind Draco's back. He was the picture of innocence when Draco shot a glare over his shoulder at him. Smiling, Harry kissed Draco on the cheek. "Thank you," he said. "I'd best get a better kiss than that," Draco said, shifting Victoria to his other hip. Harry arched a brow and proceeded to give him what he asked for. It wasn't the easiest task, considering Draco was holding Victoria and his arm was in a sling. But they were managing well enough until they were interrupted by the back door swinging open. "Hello, boys," Ginny chirped. Draco glared at her in annoyance. "Weaselette, allow me to officially introduce you to my friend, Blaise Zambini," he said. "Blaise, deal with her. She's all yours." "Draco!" Harry exclaimed, not wanting to believe his boyfriend had just said that. "Hello, Ginny," Blaise said pointedly, offering her a wry smile. Ginny beamed back at him, obviously pleased. "I'm glad you came," she said. "You can sit back and enjoy the entertainment with me," she added, casting a cheeky grin at Harry and Draco. Harry stuck his tongue out at her, as they were called into the kitchen. Mrs. Weasley gave him a hug and greeting, and he introduced her to Blaise. Draco was cordial with Mrs. Weasley, but he was remaining carefully neutral otherwise. Blaise didn't seem to be much of a concern to anyone, but Harry quickly realized that was because everyone's focus was on him and Draco. The atmosphere was extremely tense as Mrs. Weasley urged them all to sit down. Harry and Draco had Victoria between them as usual. Blaise and Ginny sat on the other side of Draco. Ron, Hermione, the twins, and Charlie sat facing them, with Mrs. Weasley in her seat at one end of the table. Charlie was talking with his mum as he ate, but they were both clearly watching over everyone else. Ginny and Blaise struck up a quiet conversation, which Harry was happy to see. Draco kept almost his entire focus on Victoria or his own plate. Harry reckoned he was going with the, "if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all" theory, which was probably for the best. Hermione and Ron seemed to be going with the same theory. Harry didn't know what to do. He wanted to steal Victoria and use her as a shield, but Draco was already using her. He glanced at them, smiling faintly. Draco was trying to get her to eat some potato salad, disguising it amongst bites of banana pudding Mrs. Weasley had made, especially because Victoria was coming. They didn't understand why, but Victoria hated anything with potatoes. She wasn't falling for Draco's attempts to trick her into eating them now, either. Draco's tactic of using her as a shield backfired when she spit potato salad back in his face. "Ugh, Victoria!" he spluttered in disgust, snatching up a napkin to wipe off his face. "You should have known better," Harry gleefully pointed out. "But it's good potato salad," Draco exclaimed without thinking. "I don't understand why she won't eat the bloody stuff." "Nana!" Victoria demanded, reaching for more of the banana pudding. "Oh no," Draco declared, giving her a determined stare. You don't get more banana anything until you eat something else.
Nana,
she said insistently, beginning to look pouty. Harry grinned as Draco's face took on the same expression. Don't look at me like that, he said sullenly, or I'll give you to your daddy and let him deal with you.
Dada,
Victoria said.
Nana!
You're her daddy, Harry pointed out helpfully, trying to keep his expression innocent. So are you, Draco said petulantly. You feed her. Harry rolled his eyes. Just give up on the bloody potato salad, he said. It's not like I'm going to be able to get her to eat it either.
Does she like coleslaw?
Hermione spoke up tentatively.
It's vegetables.
Harry's eyes darted back and forth between Hermione and Draco, before settling on Draco. Draco opened his mouth, closed it, then tried again. I don't know, he admitted, only a slight grimace marring his features. Hermione passed him the bowl, and he accepted it after only a slight hesitation. Thank you, he said. Harry slowly released the breath he realized he'd been holding. Sybil was good, and it was a start. He gave Hermione a small smile of gratitude, and she smiled back. Ron's brow was creased in a thoughtful frown. He caught Harry's gaze. Why doesn't she like potato salad? He asked. Harry blinked. Ron always could throw him off with questions he wasn't expecting. We don't know, Draco answered, now successfully feeding Victoria small bites of the coleslaw. His eyes remained focused on her, but he continued speaking to Ron. She doesn't like anything with potatoes in any form. We've tried mashed, boiled, fried. She doesn't like any of them. Oh, Ron said. Harry couldn't resist. She's not like you, Ron, eating anything that's put in front of you. He grinned. I don't eat just anything, Ron protested, even as he was stealing the bowl of coleslaw back from Draco to load more on his plate. I didn't eat that French, he waved his hand expansively, trying to remember, soup or whatever it was. Oh, honestly, Ron, Hermione huffed. Fleur's been living here, and you still can't remember that it's called bouillabaisse? And you did eat it, Harry said. No, he didn't, Hermione said irritably. He offered it over to the little hussy, drooling all the while. Ron blushed a brilliant red. Hermione looked chagrined. Harry sniggered. What little hussy? Draco drawled, eyebrow arched in curiosity. Surely Brown doesn't have a taste for fine cuisine. Harry's eyes widened as they jerked to Ron to see his reaction. But he registered Hermione also watching Ron expectantly. Ron was spluttering. He couldn't defend himself with inadvertently defending Lavender and Fleur in the process, which would only get him into hot water with Hermione. Ron finally ducked his head and retreated back to his food without saying a word. Hermione grinned smugly at Harry. I'm beginning to think I actually like your boyfriend, she said. Draco looked a little horrified at that statement, before he sighed in resignation. Harry, I hate you, he said forlornly. I know, Harry reassured him, trying to keep a straight face. You're the one who wanted to know who the little hussy was. So, who was it? Draco asked. Harry, Ron, and Hermione's eyes all drifted to the other end of the table to see if Mrs. Weasley was listening to them or not. Draco's eyes followed them curiously. She appeared to still be engrossed in her conversation with Charlie. Everyone else was waiting expectantly to hear who the hussy was. Harry looked back to Hermione. They stared at each other for a moment, and he was sure his face reflected the mischievous grin on hers. Hermione glanced over to Ginny, and she couldn't hold in the giggles. Ron's face turned a deeper shade of red.
Oh, you've got to tell us, Ginny demanded.
Harry, no, Ron pleaded. Fleur, Harry admitted, grinning unrepentantly. Ginny, Fred, and George immediately broke out into loud gales of laughter. Draco and Blaise were sniggering. Hermione was giggling uncontrollably. Mrs. Weasley and Charlie obviously hadn't been listening, because they were startled at the suddenly animated group.
"Some kind of friend you are, Harry,"
Ron muttered. Harry stilled. For a few minutes, he let himself relax, pretending like this was a normal gathering. With the abrupt reminder that he could lose his best friend, he felt sick. Glancing around at the others still laughing, he realized he must have been the only one to hear the words. But from Ron's stricken expression, he'd recognized the serious implications of what he'd said. By unspoken agreement, they stood and made to leave. The room grew quiet almost instantly.
"Where do you think you're going?" Draco hissed at Harry, his humor gone.
"I just need to talk to Harry for a minute," Ron said quietly. "I'll bring him back without harming him." Harry's eyes jerked to Ron, but Ron was focused on Draco. The real surprise came from the quiet dignity that had been in Ron's voice, and Harry wasn't the only one to register that fact. Draco's eyes were narrowed as his gaze locked with Ron's, and Harry stared at the two of them, wondering what the hell they were thinking. Wondering what bloody alternate universe he'd just landed in when Draco gave Ron a curt nod. Draco stood before Harry could leave and brushed his lips across Harry's before whispering in his ear, "If he hurts you, I will hunt him down." Harry gave a soft smile, oddly reassured. He kissed Draco back. "My hero," he murmured against his lips. Flushing a light pink, Draco scowled at him. "Go away," he said haughtily. "You're disrupting my meal." Smiling, Harry followed Ron out into the garden. His smile fell away as Ron stopped and faced him. It wasn't lost on him that Ron hadn't taken them out of sight of the kitchen windows.
"I don't like him," Ron said abruptly.
"I know," Harry said. "I don't expect you to like him. Draco's been a nasty prick to you, and you have no reason to like him." Inexplicably to Harry, Ron gave him a wry smile at those words.
"But I do have a reason, Harry," he said.
Harry frowned, shaking his head.
"No, you don't," he said. His frown deepened as he registered that some type of role reversal seemed to be occurring.
Ron laughed, also recognizing the switch.
"Weren't you the one who gave us any number of reasons last night why we should get along with him?" he asked.
"Well, yeah, but I just need you to accept that he's helping the light side," Harry said. "I need you to be civil with him so we can win this war. But other than that, I know you've got every reason to hate him personally."
Ron's smile turned sad. "You really do care about everyone else first, don't you?" he said.
He shook his head dismissively.
"Look, I've got plenty of reasons why I hate Malfoy. Even after everything you said last night," he said. "I don't understand all of it, or most of it, but bloody hell, Harry. If it's even obvious to me how much you care about each other, well, it's a damn big reason to like Malfoy."
"You're in the middle of something far bigger than I can comprehend with all this war and espionage stuff," he continued, his expression a reflection of his incomprehension. "But you're somehow still happier than I've probably ever seen you."
"I am happy," Harry said softly.
Ron didn't say anything, gazing pensively at the house.
"So, are we still friends?" Harry asked hesitantly, after more than a minute had passed in silence.
"I refuse to lose my best friend," Ron said. He shrugged.
"I'm not stupid. I know if I tried to make you choose between me and Malfoy, I'd lose."
Harry opened his mouth to deny that, but then closed it again as he realized he couldn't deny it truthfully. He dropped his head miserably.
"You want to know why I know how important you are to Malfoy?"
Ron asked abruptly. "Aside from the fact that he threatened me for hurting you," he added. Harry looked up at him.
"Because he's also refusing to make you choose," Ron said. "Draco Malfoy's actually come to my house for lunch and is behaving civilly. For you. We both know damned well that he still hates me, but he accepts the fact that I'm your best friend."
He shrugged.
"I can respect that."
Harry's eyes closed as relief washed over him. "Ron, you have no idea." He trailed off, not knowing how to express his gratitude.
"Yeah, I do," Ron said quietly. "While Harry Potter is busy trying to save the world, his friends and family are doing their bloody best to give the world to him."
Harry opened his eyes and arched a brow.
"That was rather disturbingly profound," he said.
Ron grinned. "From Hermione's lips to your ears," he said. Harry laughed, and Ron laughed with him. They turned when Hermione poked her head out of the back door.
"If you're laughing, does it mean it's safe to come out?" she asked.
Harry held his arm out, an unspoken request for a hug. Hermione ran out and gave him one, mindful of his shoulder still in a sling, but hugging him tightly regardless.
"Are you all right with this, Hermione?" he asked.
"It'll take some getting used to," she admitted.
She pulled back, gazing at him solemnly.
"But I'm going to trust that my best friend knows what he's doing and knows what's best for him," she said, tears welling in her eyes and spilling over.
"Thank you," he said, his deep appreciation expressed in the huskiness of his voice.
"You're welcome," she said softly.
They turned as the others approached, Hermione attempting to wipe away the tears.
"Potter, you have no manners," Draco drawled, sticking his hand down Harry's front pocket and pulling out the handkerchief he'd put there.
He handed it to Hermione, who accepted it with recognition dawning on her features. She gave Harry a watery grin.
"Well, that solves one mystery at least."
Harry rolled his eyes. "Draco's under this misguided impression that he's going to turn me into a gentleman," he said dryly.
"No," Draco denied. "You'd lose your charm if you turned into a gentleman. But it doesn't mean you have to be an uncouth slob, either."
"Hate to interrupt the tender moments," George said. "But who's up for a game of Quidditch?" Fred asked. Harry's face fell.
"I'm out," he sighed.
"Mate, I'm sorry," Ron said sheepishly.
"As you well should be, Weasley,"
Draco said, but his eyes were lingering on the brooms the twins had brought with them. Ron looked ready to lash out, but he snapped his jaw shut.
"Well, with Harry out, we do have even teams at least," Ginny said, earning frowns from Ron and Draco.
"Draco and I don't have brooms here," Blaise said.
"Draco can just pop home and grab ours," Harry said easily.
"Harry," Draco began. Harry stopped him by kissing him. "We've got hours still before the meeting. Just go get our brooms and you can fly for a while," he said.
Draco looked unsure, but he didn't require much urging from Harry.
30 minutes later, Draco, Ron, and George were competing against Ginny, Blaise, and Fred. Harry watched, wishing he was up there with them, but at the same time, he was enjoying Ron and Draco's bemusement at being on the same team. Fred and George had blithely set the teams and taken off into the air before anyone could protest. Victoria's sudden wails abruptly brought his attention back to the ground. He scooped her up, shushing her.
"What happened?" he asked, feeling guilty for not watching her more closely.
Hermione was smiling. "She was trying to stand, but she was startled by a butterfly and fell," she said.
"A butterfly?" Harry asked Victoria in amusement. "You play with a snake on a regular basis, and you're scared by a butterfly?"
"You let her play with a snake?"
Hermione asked, horrified. Cuddling Victoria, Harry explained how she and Lissa played together.
"Well, that gives new meaning to animated toys," Hermione said bemusedly.
Harry grinned, nodding in agreement. Victoria squirmed out of his arms, ready to explore again.
"It's funny," Hermione said abruptly.
"What is?" Harry asked.
"All of last year you tried to convince Ron and I that Malfoy was an evil little bastard, but we wouldn't listen to you," she said. "We dismissed almost everything you said about him and thought you were a fool for obsessing over him.
Now you're trying to convince us that Malfoy isn't an evil little bastard, and we're finally listening to you," she said.
"It's difficult to sort out everything in our heads, but we're not dismissing any of it, and you're doing far more than obsessing over him."
Harry smiled, thinking about all the things he'd been doing with Draco. Hermione smiled ruefully at him.
"The irony is unfathomable," she said. "But you were right. You've been right about everything regarding him."
She tilted her head curiously.
"Do you really love him, Harry?"
she asked. "Yes," Harry answered simply. Hermione nodded in acceptance, watching as Harry plucked the grass from Victoria's fist before she could get it into her mouth, and moving her back to the center of the blanket.
"I was upset last night and argued with Ginny about it, but I do understand why you told her and not us," Hermione said. "Ron and I don't have a very good history of listening to you where Malfoy is concerned."
"I didn't even tell Ginny, you know," Harry said. "Draco told her. I think he was trying to stake his claim on me," he added.
"Yes, Ginny's finally told me about the shower," Hermione said. Her expression showed both disapproval for the state Ginny had been in and amusement at the predicament in which Harry had found himself.
Harry's eyes widened. "Ron doesn't know, does he?" he asked.
"Harry, I have to admit that some secrets are best kept secret," she said. "Ginny naked in the shower with you is one of them."
Harry sighed with relief, causing Hermione to laugh.
"You really have been in some sticky situations this summer, haven't you?"
"Too many of them," Harry muttered.
"Yes, well, at least you've had Fred and George to help out," she said.
"You don't mind that I told them?" Harry asked in surprise.
"Oh, they don't really count," Hermione said dismissively.
Harry's eyebrows rose. "They don't count?"
"Well, they do," Hermione conceded. "But they're different. They admire rule-breaking and pranks and well-kept secrets. They put you into an entirely different category of hero."
"I'm the master player," Harry said, remembering the description Draco had used.
"Yes, that fits. It's all a game, and you're the best at it, as far as they're concerned. We're at the height of the war, and I'd be willing to bet that this is the best summer they've ever had."
Probably, Harry said, unable to disagree. Victoria fell again and started crying. Harry picked her up, rubbing her back and attempting to soothe her.
"She looks ready for a nap," Hermione said.
"It's probably why she's fussy," he agreed. He bit his lip. Victoria was used to a bottle right before she went down for a nap, and he realized he was used to simply asking Winky to retrieve one for him.
"What?"
Hermione asked, frowning at him. Harry debated if this was a good time to deal with the house elf issue. He didn't really want to get into it with Hermione, but it had to be addressed at some point. Eyeing Hermione warily, he called for Winky. Hermione frowned in disapproval, but didn't say anything.
"Yes, Master Harry?" Winky said.
"Would you get me a bottle for Victoria, please?" he requested. Winky bowed and disappeared. Harry focused on settling Victoria comfortably in his lap, and was ready when Winky returned with the bottle.
"Anything else, Master Harry?" Winky asked.
"Winky?" Hermione said kindly. Winky shifted away from her, obviously remembering who she was.
"You look well," Hermione said. "Master Harry takes good care of me," Winky said proudly.
Harry snorted softly. He didn't do a damn thing for Winky. Hermione frowned at him, and he reluctantly explained. "Winky's the one taking care of me," he admitted.
"She looks so much better," Hermione said. Her brow furrowed as she processed that fact.
Harry fed Victoria and watched as Hermione took in every detail of Winky's appearance. She was standing proudly, dressed neatly in a pink tea towel. There wasn't a tear in sight, and she looked healthy. She only vaguely resembled the same drunken house elf they'd witnessed in the kitchens at Hogwarts.
"Can I ask you a few questions?" Hermione asked.
Winky looked to Harry for permission, and he nodded reassuringly. "It's all right, Winky," he said. "She's just wanting to make sure you're happy."
"Winky is very happy taking care of Master Harry and Mistress Victoria," Winky said, indignant that anyone could even question such a thing. Victoria fell asleep, and Harry settled her onto the blanket before lying on his back beside her. He watched the Quidditch game and listened in amusement as Hermione questioned Winky. Winky would counter Hermione's concerns far better than he ever could. The Quidditch game seemed to be going well enough. Draco had loaned Blaise his broom and taken Harry's firebolt for himself. He looked to be having a lot of fun, despite himself. And with the two major competitors on the same team, the game remained relaxed. As relaxed as they could be, Harry corrected his thoughts. There was still plenty of tension in the group, but everyone was making a concerted effort to get along. The threat of death in a few days was a powerful motivator, influencing all of them. For a few moments, he allowed himself to question if this would be their last afternoon together like this. It was no wonder they were all attempting to keep it as peaceful as possible. He shoved the thoughts aside. The others were taking their cue from him, and they couldn't afford doubts now. He closed his eyes, simply listening to the lilt of Hermione's voice, the excited shouts of the Quidditch game, and the soft, snuffling snores of Victoria. He wasn't going to ruin this by thinking about death. Soaking in the reassuring sounds and the warm sunshine, Harry drifted off to sleep. He woke as lazily as he'd fallen asleep. "Mmm," he murmured, appreciatively, enjoying the soft kisses raining over his face. Draco kissed him languidly, sliding his tongue sensuously through Harry's mouth. Harry's hand glided down Draco's side, around to the small of his back. When his hand started to go lower, Draco broke the kiss with a low chuckle. "Wake up, you lazy sod," he drawled. "We've got an audience." Harry's eyes flew open, and he could feel the flush rising to his cheeks as he caught sight of his friend staring back at him in varying degrees of amusement. Draco rolled to his side, propping himself up on his elbow. Harry scrambled to sit up, but Draco pushed him back down, smirking at him and his eyes sparkling. Harry stared at him, caught by the sheer joy in Draco's eyes. "You had fun flying, didn't you?" he said softly. Draco nodded. "It was even more fun than kissing you awake," he said. "Hey!" Harry protested. "Well, flying wasn't as good as waking you up this morning," Draco conceded, grinning when Harry blushed again. "Oh, do tell," Fred said eagerly. "No!" Harry and Ron exclaimed. "It's enough being forced to watch you snogging," Ron added with a grimace. "Funny, that coming from you," Harry retorted. Ron darted a worried glance at Hermione as Ginny giggled. "Harry's right," Hermione sniffed. "You have no room to talk, Ron." "So, with all the snogging Harry and Malfoy are always doing, does that mean Harry's a hussy?" Ginny asked innocently. Harry stared at her incredulously for a moment before he burst out laughing, Hermione and the others joining in. The laughter woke up Victoria, and she crawled onto Harry's chest, cuddling with him and blinking sleepily at everyone. "Have a good nap, pumpkin?" Draco asked, rubbing her back. Harry grinned smugly for the use of the endearment, as Draco sneered at him before leaning over to kiss Victoria on the top of her head. Harry pulled Draco down to claim his own kiss. "Ugh, Harry," Ron grimaced. "You'd think you were a girl the way you're acting." "Ron!" Hermione and Ginny exclaimed. "Am I?" Harry asked, frowning. He still felt like himself, but he had to admit he had no idea how one was supposed to act when they were in a relationship with another boy. It wasn't like he'd seen any other couples to compare. Severus and Remus certainly didn't count, as everything about their relationship was kept as private as possible. Harry felt privileged to even know they were together. "No, you're not," Draco answered Harry, scowling furiously at Ron. "What'd I say?" Ron asked, alarmed at the reactions he'd received for his comment. "Teaspoon, Ron. Teaspoon, Ron. Teaspoon," Hermione said angrily. "Don't you even make Harry feel bad for being happy." "I wasn't," Ron protested. "You just called him a girl, Ron," Ginny said, rolling her eyes. "No, I didn't," Ron defended.
I just don't know how this boy-boy stuff works.
You can't even figure out how boy-girl stuff works, Hermione snapped.
Ron looked hurt by that accusation, and Harry took pity on him.
It's all right, he said. I don't know how I'm supposed to act either.
Draco lifted Victoria and handed her over to Hermione, before straddling Harry's hips.
You're supposed to act like you, he said fiercely, glaring down at him. You, with all your moods, which means sometimes you're sweet and affectionate, and sometimes you're dark and dangerous, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Harry stared up at him, feeling as startled and bewildered as Ron.
All right, he said. And sometimes you're clueless,
Draco huffed, before cupping Harry's face and proceeding to snug him senseless. Harry groaned at the sudden assault. Where the earlier kisses had been sweet and tender, this one was claiming. Draco plundered his mouth, possessing him, before inviting Harry's tongue back into his own mouth to claim and possess in return.
Fucking hell, Draco, Harry breathed when they finally pulled apart. What was that for?
That was an obliviation, Draco said, his own voice rather breathless.
Obliviation of what? Harry asked dazedly.
Draco smirked.
I'm happy to know it worked,
he drawled.
Gods, you're such a prat sometimes, Harry said,
but it came out sounding far more fond than irritated. Harry startled as someone cleared their throat, having forgotten about everyone else. Draco dropped his head into the crook of Harry's neck, laughing.
Here, Ginny, Draco said, smirking her name. Watch Victoria for a while. I've got to go get Harry ready.
Ginny took her, shooting a grin in Harry's direction before focusing on the baby. Harry squawked his protest, otherwise speechless. Hermione darted a curious glance between them.
What do you mean you have to get Harry ready?
There's an extremely important order meeting he has to lead in a short while, Draco said, as if the answer was obvious.
They'd stayed at the Weasleys for the entire afternoon and had just finished dinner. Now that the majority of people would be off work, the order meeting would be starting soon. Harry could feel the tension building inside of him again. It was all the more unpleasant after the relaxing afternoon. At Hermione's look of incomprehension, Ginny explained,
Malfoy's gonna play dress-up with Harry, make him look more presentable.
More like a man of power, Draco drawled.
Hermione frowned thoughtfully.
More like he looked for the wedding? She asked.
Exactly like he looked for the wedding, Draco agreed smugly.
What do I have to get all dressed up for? Harry protested.
Because this isn't going to be just family and friends.
Hermione took on the task of explaining it to him, making it all sound perfectly reasonable.
Shacklebolt and McGonagall still harbored hopes that Snape was on the light side, and they like you and trust you personally, so it was easier for you to convince them. Most of the people that are going to be here this evening are not going to want to believe you.
Which means you have to present an image that commands respect, Draco continued, when Hermione paused.
You're going to have to be careful, but we're going to take that sling off as well, so that you're not exhibiting visible weaknesses.
What happened to me just being me? Harry muttered.
I don't doubt that you will be, Draco said dryly. I'm certain that before this evening is over, everyone will be very clear on exactly where Harry Potter stands on everything.
Harry frowned at him, but Hermione and Ginny were nodding in agreement.
This should be interesting, Hermione said.
Fucking hell, Draco said in disgust. Could it be any more orange? I love Ron's room, Harry said, bristling defensively. You can tell he lives here and it's comfortable. Draco looked at him sharply, before glancing around the room again, seeming to be actually studying it with interest this time around.
All right, I get it, he finally said.
Get what? Harry asked suspiciously.
This entire room screams Ron Weasley, Draco said. Whether I like what it's screaming or not is beside the point, he added with a grimace.
He gazed back at Harry, And our room screams me, he sighed. Harry shrugged his free shoulder. I like our room, too, he said softly. The corner of his mouth lifted into a light smirk. And I happen to love when you scream. Draco smirked in return before sobering. Harry sighed. Draco, no, he said. I just want to get this bloody order meeting over with. If you honestly think the right clothes are going to help, then by all means dress me however you want. He smiled faintly. Then we can go home and I can surround myself with dragons, he said. I'm rather fond of one in particular. Draco wasn't happy with dropping the issue, but he stepped to Harry and gave him a gentle kiss. I'll surround you any time, he promised. He stepped back. Now strip, he ordered. Harry groaned. Harry strode into the garden with his confidence firmly in place, Draco beside him. Wow, Blaise breathed, surprising Harry. What? Harry asked, frowning at him. Blaise shook his head. Just wondering how many couples could radiate as much power, beauty, and confidence as the two of you, he said. Draco nodded coolly at the compliment. Harry gaped at Blaise. You are ruining the image, Potter, Draco drawled. Harry scowled at him before shaking off Blaise's comment, lifting his chin and gazing around the garden. The twins and Ron were finishing with the table set up. Hermione and Ginny had been talking with McGonagall and Kingsley, but Kingsley broke away and approached Harry. Good evening, Harry, Kingsley said pleasantly. Hello, Kingsley, Harry said dryly. Allow me to introduce you to Draco Malfoy and Blaise Zambini. Draco, Blaise, I'd like you to meet Kingsley Shacklebolt, our new Minister for Magic. Proving he was a Slytherin and a Malfoy, Draco didn't bat an eyelash, shaking the hand of the man who should technically be arresting him. Good evening, Minister, he said smoothly. Blaise followed suit. Good evening, Mr. Malfoy, Mr. Zambini, Kingsley said, amusement reflected in his voice, if not his features. Harry wondered where this situation would fit on the bizarreness scale. They'd had yet to assign actual numbers to their rating system, and he was rather regretting in that instant that they hadn't. His imaginary non-rating went up several notches when Severus, Narcissa, and Lucius apparated into the garden. Not bothering with greetings, Severus unceremoniously ordered the Slytherin group inside before the others started arriving. Harry felt bereft when Draco left his side. He'd received a cool brush of lips and had the feeling he should probably be thankful he'd even gotten that much. He frowned back at the house for a moment, but he didn't have time to dwell on it as McGonagall snagged his attention. It wasn't much longer before the other order members started arriving.